Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is SW Pod Sounds and Stories, and you're listening to your new favorite host, Mandy. SW stands for CCSISI Wote, Wote, which means all of us in Swahili. And this is basically the podcast where you can engage with commentary on Black music and Black literature, specifically from the perspective of a casual reader and everyday listener, which is me. Now I'm going to break down how it actually works. So every single episode we'll be discussing a song and a book that share a common theme. Okay, that's nice and simple. And in terms of what is coming up, we've got Let Me Tell You. So that's a Let Me, T-A-L-E-U. Don't let that go over your head, by the way. Then we got sounds, then we got stories, and then we got soundtrack and stories. Okay, so Let Me Tell You is the portion of the episode where I read out or I play listeners' personal stories, their thoughts, their opinions. But the only rule is that all of these contributions have to be inspired by something from the previous episode. It can be the song, it can be the theme, it can be the book, it can be even something from the playlist. Okay, anything from the episode, and they can write any contribution that they want. Sounds is when I talk about a song in relation to the theme of the episode. Stories is when I do exactly the same for the book. And then finally, soundtrack and stories is a playlist that is updated with every single episode with 5 songs that I will reveal right at the end of the episode. And all of these 5 songs are connected to the theme as well. Okay, so let's get into this week's Let Me Tell You. Let Me T-A-L-E-U. Don't let that go over your head.
Okay, so we have a written-in story this week, which I am going to read out. The theme is rejection of this story. So let's see what our beloved listener has to say. Okay, cool. I'm sort of paraphrasing, so that I can make it 2 minutes. But here we go. When I was in high school, I started liking this girl, but I didn't have any experience in dating. So I asked my other friend for advice, and she was like, I should just befriend her on socials, make conversation, and try and get to that friend stage. Cool, so that's what I did. Just be normal conversation. Hi, how are you? My English. But we never really went that far. And as we were in opposite sides of the year, it was hard to get conversation at school because we only had one class together. Cool. Then, as we started to get to know each other, my friend was saying that she thinks that the girl likes me. And as we were both in our Delulu phase, I decided it was probably a good idea that I should probably tell her how I felt. Cool. So one day at lunch, in front of all her friends, I call her outside and I just drop it in the conversation after we greet each other, and I just tell her that I like her. Of course, after that, the conversation got really awkward and she told me that she was speaking to somebody else right now, which I later found out was a lie. But in the moment, it was just super awkward, and obviously the convo's over now. So as we're leaving, I wanted to just go in for a hug, but instead of going in for a hug, I dapped her up and patted her on the back, and I immediately wanted the ground to swallow me, and I lost 50 million aura points that very day. So that is my story of how I was rejected the first time I confessed that I liked my crush.
Honestly, this story really reminds me and takes me back to like my school crushes, my secondary school crushes. And because obviously your whole life revolves around school. And like, I remember it feeling so, obviously a crush is not a small thing. Like even now to this day, a crush can really stay on my mind and consume me. But it just felt so, I don't know, it felt so big at the time, like in school times. But yeah, the main things I'm taking away from this story is, I actually think you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Shoot is shoot. Do you get what I mean? Like, I think having that confidence in yourself to actually say it or do something to make it known, obviously everything, don't do nothing mad, but, you know, taking that first step takes a lot of courage. And I remember when I did similar, I told the guy that I liked him. And he didn't like me back and it was rejection. But it's just like,
doing it is always, you're scared, you're like, rah, like, what's gonna happen? You're nervous, and it's hardly ever smooth, like, the very first time you do it. But I think that just gives you the confidence and shows you that, you know, these crushes, these people that you've built up in your head, they're actually just people at the end of the day, and the interaction is always just much more calm than you think it's going to be. Do you know what I mean? One thing that also comes to mind with this story is that, you know, a rejection is really not about you specifically a lot of the time. Of course, there are things to improve in certain situations that you might have been able to do differently and put maybe your better foot forward for next time. But rejection is really not personal. And I think sometimes in romantic contexts, it can maybe feel more personal. Because, like, say, for example, like with a job application or, I don't know, an opportunity that you're going for, it's less about you as your in your personhood and more about maybe your skills, your experience, all of these things, which you can gain. Do you know what I mean? Obviously. But when it's in a romantic context, it's like you are the stakes are you and your personhood and your personality and all of this stuff. So it's like, it maybe feels more personal, but the reality is that it's not. Do you know what I mean? A lot of the time when people are rejected, it's really got nothing to do with whoever's receiving the rejection. Do you know what I mean? So I like that this person didn't take that to heart. They didn't kind of, especially because it's the first time. And obviously it's an embarrassing interaction. You're feeling like, rah, like, let the ground just follow me now. But other than that, you know, immediate reaction, I'm glad that this person didn't kind of take it to heart and just start questioning themselves and doubting themselves and being harsh on themselves. Because at the end of the day, it really has nothing to do with them. And that thing of like, oh, let's just be friends, da 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 da. I maybe have some personal beef with that line, because I think it's just better to always say, like, just not for me. I feel like that's just always cleaner. Because obviously everybody knows that when people are saying, oh, let's just be friends, more time than not, they don't want to be your friend. But I think we need to start saying what we mean. Do you know what I mean? I think obviously that's code for, yeah, it just didn't work out, not interested type thing. But I think it's okay, like, to be like, no, I'm not interested. I don't know what you guys think. Let me know, like, is it too harsh for you to just say it direct, like, nah, it's not for me right now, or I'm just not feeling it, da da da. Obviously, I think it's sometimes tough to say that stuff, because for me personally, I'm always thinking about how the other person's going to receive it. But yeah, let me know what you guys think. Use hashtag SWPod. I would love to know your thoughts on this. At us, if you've got anything to say on this topic. But yeah, man, that's the end of Let Me Tell You for this episode. If you want to send in your own stories, your own accounts, your own thoughts or opinions, remember you can do that by writing in either 500 words or sending in a voice note that is 2 minutes maximum. And send all your stories, dilemmas, questions, thoughts to swpoduk@gmail.com. So that's swpoduk@gmail.com. Or you can also DM us. That's swpoduk for all our socials. And yeah, man.
Okay, so the theme for this episode is a little bit heavy. It's a bit emotional. It's a bit deep. It's actually grief until we meet again. And the reason I chose this theme is because it is personal to me, but I also couldn't talk about this book without discussing it. It's such a big part of the whole book. I would argue the biggest theme in the book, because it connects all the characters, it motivates a lot of the characters' actions as well in the book. And even when it's not a scene specifically about death or explicitly about grief or someone's passing, it's still in the air. So I feel like it sets the scene for almost everything that happens in the book. So I really couldn't talk about this book without discussing it. And I'm going to give you a clue as to which book it is. Yeah, it's a big clue, by the way, because the writer has only written one book. So if you figure out who it is, then you're going to figure out which book it is. But here's the clue. So the writer actually won the 2021 Murky Books New Writers Prize. Okay, so why is that relevant? So Murky Books is an imprint. So an imprint is basically a trading name that a publisher uses and allows that publisher to have multiple brands within one company, right? You can kind of think of it the way that, like, you know, LVMH is like the huge fashion house, and within that there's loads of different brands under it. Similar to that, except for publishing, it's still the same publisher technically. So Murky Books, is the publisher is still Penguin Random House, but the name that is used to publish set books is Murky Books rather than Penguin Random House. Okay, I hope that makes sense. And Murky Books was started by Stormzy in 2018. And the brand of Murky Books is basically to champion more diverse voices in publishing, okay? So underrepresented writers, getting them published, because the winner of this prize gets a publishing contract, which is a huge deal if you're a writer, okay? Because basically what happens is you get an advance, so you get a huge sum of money. And that basically pays for your time and the resources that you need in order to write the book. And obviously, depending on the terms of your contract, you're going to get royalties. So you're going to keep getting paid. So this is massive for writers, okay? And the writing prize specifically focuses on unpublished writers in the UK and Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, aged between 16 and 30, okay? So a really, really cool opportunity to get your, showcase your work, and then potentially, you know, have your book published. And Penguin Random House is one of the big five in terms of English language publishers, okay? So you've probably read a book by them or you've seen a book by them. If on the cover on the spine of a book you see a little penguin icon, that is Penguin Random House. They also have a children's imprint which is called Puffin, which is really, really popular as well. So that's like a little black bird on the cover or on the spine. That's also published by Penguin Random House, but it's a different imprint, like Murky Books, okay? But that one is focusing on children's fiction, whereas Murky Books is focusing on fiction and non-fiction, but from diverse voices that are underrepresented in publishing. And I really rate Stormzy for doing this, because it literally brings the world of music, it's like the glitz, the glamour, because obviously Stormzy's a superstar. Like, he's not only a big name in terms of UK rap, he's not only a big name in terms of just UK music, he's just a global UK icon and superstar. So he's bringing like the coolness and the ratings he has from that, and he's bringing it into the world of books, which in my opinion doesn't really have the same ratings as music does, right? People will think it's cooler to be a music superstar than to be a writer, most likely. Do you know what I mean? So, and I feel like merging those worlds and bringing them together is a really cool thing to do, because books are a really important form of media. And I feel like reading is good for you always, right? That's a different way to be creative and consume knowledge and learn things, right? So I love that. I really respect that he's merged those two worlds together. So that's your clue for which book it is. It's a huge clue, as I said. So the 2021 Murky Books New Writers Prize winner is the author of the book for this episode. Now for the song of the episode, yeah, I'm going to give you a clue as well, so you guys can get to thinking and get your brains working as to what song could it be, okay? So I'm throwing it way, way back. So you're most likely not going to get it unless you're like a super music head, but a super music head specifically for soul and R&B music, okay? Because the group that performed this song is called Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. Now that probably means nothing to you. I discovered this song by chance, because when I was looking for songs that would link to this episode's theme, I was actually looking for a Beyonce song. And then this one came up as one of the search results, and I just clicked it and I was like, rah, this is a beautiful song. Okay. And a big name drop is Teddy Pendergrass. If you know the name, then you know. If you don't, just know that's a massive, massive name drop. Okay. So to give you a little bit of background on this group, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes are a soul and R&B vocal group from Philadelphia, and they're actually one of the leading groups of a sound called Philly Soul. Okay, so this is a genre of soul that specifically originated from Philadelphia and has funk influences, and actually contributed to the development of disco, which is obviously a different genre, in the later 70s. So these guys were big in the game. And this song that we're going to talk about on this episode is off their debut album called I Miss You. So make sure you keep listening and find out which one it actually is. But before I go any further, I'm going to do a quick health check with you guys. How are you? I hope you're well. I hope you're doing good. I'm Anta as well. Well, 2 days ago, yeah, I went to Reformer Pilates for first time in like I want to say like 5 years, because I did it like for rehab for an injury that I had, because it was really good for your core, and I haven't been back since. But bruv, that is a serious workout. Like, remember, core isn't just abs, okay? It's your whole, it like goes all the way around your back, and it stabilizes everything. So many things that you do, your upper body injuries are related to your core. More time, your lower body injuries, stuff with your balance is all related to your core. The core is such an important part of your body. And this Pilates thing, this reformer Pilates, the one on the machine, the one on the machine with the springs, it's no joke. Like, I was literally shaking for so many of the exercises, because you have to keep your core engaged throughout the whole session, like every single exercise. Even when they're like, oh, we're moving on, we're not doing any more core exercises, bruv, they're lying. Every single exercise is a fucking core exercise. So it's very serious, but it's really good for like all the little muscles in your body. Like, lifting weights is obviously good for building muscle and getting stronger, for like bigger muscle groups, but it's really good for like stabilizer muscles and all them kind of like small muscles that you don't typically get to train and like focus on. But yeah, one thing I also don't understand is casino motives. Like, I don't get, okay, maybe I get the appeal, because if you watch TV, yeah, like Ozarks, there's a TV show, there's like a lot of casino stuff going on in that. Oceans, Molly's Game, like there's so many things. Even James Bond, like I haven't watched it personally, but I know there's definitely like bare casino scenes and it looks so like glamorous and da 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 da. But I really just don't get it. Like, my friends dragged me to one casino in Leicester Square, like I think it's a bait one, like Hippodrome or whatever. We got dinner or whatever, and then we went to the casino afterwards, and I was just like, this is so dead, guys. I really don't understand. Like, I don't get the appeal at all. Like, even when I went on a trip to Monaco like 2 years ago, and I went to like the casino there, and obviously that's a like one of the world's most famous casinos, and I understood it a bit more there, because obviously it's bougie, it's uptown, it's, do you know what I mean? So I understand you're just going there to kind of flex, but this Leicester Square joint, like, with respect, it's not all that. It's actually not that deep. So in my opinion, it was dry. But even that Monaco one that I went to, I was sleeping, and they almost kicked me out because they thought I was drunk or whatever. But I was literally just sleeping, because I was just like, bruv, like, I'm actually bored. What the hell? But yeah, so I don't get casino motives, but that's just me, innit. Make sure you guys say a little something as well, like, wherever you are, whether you're at home, whether you're on a walk, on the train, if you're in public, it doesn't matter if people side eye you. Don't mind them, okay? Just ignore them, because we know what it is. We understand each other, yeah? And if they ask you, if they have the audacity to ask you, then just say you're answering your favorite podcast host, and surely they'll understand, right? Right? All right, boom. So starting off with, let me tell you, let me T-A-L-E-U. Okay, this is where we hear from you guys, your stories, your thoughts, your opinions. Of course, the only rule is that any of the contributions that you make have to be inspired by something from the previous episode. Okay, so as I said, it can be the theme, it can be the song, it can be the book, it can be the song from a song from a playlist, anything, as long as it's from the previous episode. All right, so let's get into it. Right, before we jump into sounds for this episode, I'm going to remind you of the theme. So the theme for this episode is grief. Until we meet again. Okay, right, so I already gave you some clues as to what song it is. I said it's Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, right? That you might not know who they are, but I also said Teddy Pendergrass. That's the second clue. And then low-key, when I said the album, that is, the song is off their debut album, I Miss You, and I said that I was looking for a Beyonce track, that might have told you that the name of the song was called I Miss You, but you might have missed that anyway. So the name of the song for this episode is I Miss You by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Oh, oh, I miss you, baby.
I as I said to you, they are a Philly soul vocal group, and Teddy Pendergrass, I dropped that name, was one of the lead vocalists when they got signed to Philadelphia International Records in 1972. And he's actually who you can hear at the beginning of the track. Why is this important information? Okay, well, first of all, Philadelphia International Records was a label founded by Gamble and Huff. Then they are a songwriting production duo, and they penned some of the biggest hits in the 70s, 80s in terms of soul and R&B music, yeah? For example, Me and Mrs. Jones by Billy Paul, the OG adultery anthem, yeah? Forget Confessions by Usher, forget It Wasn't Me, forget all them tune there, yeah? Me and Mrs. Jones, yeah? That is the cheating, the cheaters' rhythm, national anthem, yeah? They also wrote a song called Backstabbers by the for the OJs. They were another R&B and soul group, really popular in the 70s. And the song Backstabbers was actually sampled by neo-soul legend and resident Big Mommy, Angie Stone, on Wish I Didn't Miss You. Okay, so they've written some really, really, really big hits. And they also separately signed Teddy Pendergrass, who was part of this group, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. They signed him as a solo artist. And apparently, yeah, Teddy Pendergrass was like R&B and soul's Galdem Glucose. Like, he had the girlies feeling a type of way in the 70s and the 80s. And to be honest, yeah, I understand. Because if you go pre his album covers, nobody was really doing it like Teddy. He was giving them sex appeal. And I understand why you might have been feeling a type of way. And plus, he can sing. He's a baritone. Like, when he's singing stuff like, let me do what I want to do, all I want to do is make love to you. Yeah, in a track. Of course you're going to lose your mind. Like, it's very suggestive, right? And some of the times he was just downright explicit with it and he just said what it is that he wanted to do. Do you know what I'm saying? So, of course, people were in their feelings. Of course you would have a crush on him, right? Like, but Teddy Pendergrass, why are you saying that we should get in the shower together, you cheeky bastard? You cheeky bastard. Yeah? Cheeky sod. It's very, you know, it's very spicy. Very spicy, to say the least. And lastly, they also signed Patti LaBelle, aka Godmother of Soul. Godmother, M-U-V-A, of Soul, to the same label. Yeah? So this is a huge label in Philadelphia, and just huge in terms of R&B and soul of the 70s and the 80s, and some huge names were part of the label and also had stuff written and produced for them by Gamble and Huff. Okay, and this group, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, was part of that label, right? So you can understand the kind of context and the scene that they're in. To give you some more facts about the song itself, it charted at number 7 in 1972 on what we now call the Billboard Hot R&B / Hip Hop Songs. But back then, in 1972, it was called the Best Selling Soul Singles. So basically, it's a chart, Billboard's chart for music of Black origin, okay? But separately from that, many of the songs by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes charted at number 1. Especially when they had Teddy Pendergrass as the lead, 1970 onwards. And this song, I Miss You, was actually the song from their debut album, as I said, and it was their breakout single. Okay, so what launched them onto the scene. And fun fact, the song was actually meant for Patti LaBelle and the Bluebell. So that's Patti LaBelle and her group, yeah? But they couldn't record it due to like scheduling conflicts. So it ended up being recorded by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, which is kind of crazy. But I've given you a lot of background there. I want us to get into the actual nitty gritty, get into the commentary, okay? So the reason I picked this song is because I actually chose a book first, as I said. And once I read the book, I knew that I couldn't talk about the book without talking about grief. Cool. And then I was thinking of songs that would go with this theme, and I was thinking I Miss You by Beyonce, so I went to search for it and to listen back to it, and then one of the search results was this song, I Miss You by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. And when I clicked on it, I was like, wow, this, I feel this song, right? First of all, it opens like a lullaby. OK, Okay, so if you think about like sleep and death, like death is a long sleep. So I kind of, you kind of, the vibe kind of matches. Do you know what I mean? In terms of the theme and the way that the song starts off. Okay, so as soon as I kept listening to the song, I thought, yeah, the sentiment of the song matches so perfectly, specifically with the way that one of the main characters in the book grieves. I felt like she would be grieving listening to this song. Like, I thought it matched so perfectly. So that's why I chose the song, okay? So, as I said, it opens as a lullaby. Now, I want you to take a moment and take a trip with me. So when you're getting into bed, you're getting ready to sleep, if you pray, you've done your prayer, okay? So now you're starting to drift into sleep. Boom! All of a sudden, your mind starts wandering. You start thinking hella deep thoughts. It's happened to me before, okay? So don't worry. Don't be scared if it's happened to you. That's when all the memories and all the people that you've been trying to suppress, yeah, push to the back of your mind in the daytime, they start coming up. They start coming up. They start popping up, okay? And then you're just there. You can't even sleep again, okay? So that's how the opening of this track kind of made me feel. It feels like you're reminiscing. It feels like there's a lot on, as I said, Teddy Bendergrass is who's singing at the beginning. It feels like there's a lot on his mind, okay? And then the instrumental, as I said to you, is a lullaby. So again, it's that vibe of sleep and death. And I feel like you understand where I'm coming from. Like, these kind of things, there's an overlap between sleep and death, right? Because who knows where you go when you sleep, and who knows where you go when you die. Do you understand? So I'm gonna get into the lyrics now. Okay, so in one of the verses, Teddy Pendergrass says, "You can look at my eyes and see that a great big man like me has been crying my soul and my heart out to you." Okay, beautiful. Now, the great big man part really shows you that he's been broken down, right? To emphasize how big and great he was prior to the tears, he's been reduced to tears, right? He's been broken down. And I feel like it's one of them soul cries, you know, the ones where you have to hold your heart because your chest literally hurts, right? Because of the pain of that heartbreak or that loss, okay? And even though they're not specifically talking about death and grief, I feel like there is a grief that happens in heartbreak. I feel like it can kind of bring out the same feelings as when somebody passes, okay? And the next lyric I wanted to pinpoint was, "Sitting in my lonely room filled with nothing but gloom and I feel like dying." Yo, you know when you're just like, what else is there to live for at this point, right? Just take me. So you can feel how heartbroken and distraught he is. And the fact that he's sitting alone in the room, I feel like that literal solitude is reflective of how alone that one of the characters feels in their grief. Again, I'm referring to the characters because we haven't gotten into stories yet, so I haven't revealed what the book is. But one of the characters in the book, I feel like their journey of grief is very lonely, right? Very much sit in your own thoughts, in your room, by yourself, and think about everything and then feel everything, okay? And I feel like that lyric from that song really perfectly matches that character's, like, way of grieving. And that's why I said I picked this song, because I could really see the parallels. I could really see the reflections and similarities between the song and the way that this character specifically grieves. For stories, we have a very special book today. As I told you, the writer of this book is the 2021 Murky Books New Writers Prize winner. The winner. Okay, and I can now gladly reveal that the book is The Things That We Lost by Jyoti Patel. Now, I'm going to warn you lot that there's no major spoilers, but I'm going to be referencing some minor plot points. So please, please proceed with caution, all right? But before we get into any of that lovely, lovely commentary, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of background. So Jyoti Patel is a British Kenyan Gujarati author. Obviously, I know that she's not a black writer. And obviously, in the intro of the podcast, I said black literature. So, but if I read something and something within the book resonates with me, then I feel like it makes sense to add into the podcast where relevant. And this book is an example of that. So, carrying on, this debut novel was published in 2023. And, you know, she knows what she's doing, because she's got a prose fiction master's from the University of East Anglia. Okay, so I think she's a writer. Yeah, I think she's a writer. So the book follows Nick, who is 17 at the time and turns 18 in the book as well, and Avni, his mum, after the death of Nick's granddad, Avni's dad, which sparks Nick's journey into discovering the truth about his father's death and his father and who he was after his passing many, many years ago. Okay, and this is something that Nick's mom, Avni, has kept a secret from him for all these years. And as someone whose mom's passing isn't openly spoken about, I can really relate to Nick's hunger to find out answers in relation to his dad and his passing, right? So the book is written in a way where we flip between focusing on Nick and focusing on Avni in the present and in the past, and it's written in the third person, so it's like we're watching them from above. Okay, and it's funny because they live in Northwest London, yeah, which is where I'm from. And when they go to the IKEA in Wembley/Neasden before he goes to uni, I was like, lol, like, same, like, not me and Nick having the same life, like, come on, gangway. But yeah, it was really cool to see like little spots like that I've been to as well, like that are also in Northwest. But there's like some bait spots like Primrose Hill and stuff like that that are mentioned in the book. I was like, oh, this is cute, because I can like visualize where they are. And yeah, that was just kind of nice. So a bit more info about Jyoti Patel. I want to talk about the fact that generational trauma and identity specifically are two other big themes. And obviously, when you have a complex identity, like you're from multiple places or you're in a diaspora or etc., etc., I'm sure you can relate to the idea of identity being, I don't know, maybe a source of confusion or something that plays a big part in your life, whether positively or can be negatively, or you're kind of unsure how you feel about it. But it does play a part, I think, in the lives of people from the diaspora who have lived in multiple countries, etc., etc. And Jyoti Patel, as I said, she's British Kenyan Gujarati. So how does that even work? Well, in like the 60s, 70s, there was a mass migration post-Indian independence to East Africa, because there was opportunity to get loads of diplomatic roles as loads of roles in the civil service in East Africa, so Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, while they were part of the British Empire. Okay, so her grandparents, I believe, so three generations above her, sorry, her great-grandparents moved over to Kenya. And of course, ethnically, they're Gujarati. But now their kids, which is her grandparents, have this Kenyan national identity as well. And then so do her parents. And that's where they've grown up. But then she is born in Paris, grows up in London. And then her parents are Kenyan, but all their traditions, all their customs, even the language that they're speaking at home is Gujarati. But it's Gujarati mixed with Swahili because of her parents' upbringing. So it's really, really a mix. So there's all these different things that are contributing to her identity. Because like, even though she's Gujarati, her family haven't lived in Gujarat for three generations, right? So how do you have a connection and affiliation to a place that your family hasn't been in for ages, but that's still part of you? And how Like, how does that work, kind of thing? And I feel like that maybe personal experience that she has was reflected in the book in terms of Nick and Avni, because Nick is even mixed race. His dad is white and his mom is obviously Gujarati. But he grew up in London, so did his mom. But then Avni's dad, so Nick's granddad, worked as a civil servant in Kenya. So there's all these different things that are contributing to his identity and his mom's identity. And you can see that where that inspiration comes from, because Jyoti Patel herself has a very similar experience, okay? So those are some of the other big themes, but that's not what I want to focus on today. Today, I want to focus on the theme of grief, okay? So firstly, I really like the way that Nick's granddad's passing is written, like the time when he actually passes, the way it's written, because it's not a big deal. And it's actually, if you're not going to miss the fact that he's passed, but you might miss the reference to the kind of foreshadowing when you first read it, because his granddad literally says, "You know, I'll think I'll go home today after being in hospital for ages," and he holds Nick's hand extra tight. Okay. And he literally wasn't talking about going home. He was talking about the metaphorically going home back to Korea, right? In my opinion, that's the way I read it. Okay. Which I think is so beautiful, the idea of death being your return home. Right, I think that's so wonderful. And of course, in the moment, Nick is quite choked up about it, because I think he picks up on that subtext and he kind of says, no, like, it's not, they want to keep you here for a little bit more, trying to kind of ground both of them in the reality, in the real world, the fact that he's still here. Because obviously Nick doesn't want to be fast forward into when his granddad's gone, right? And then obviously there's the initial shock of the passing, from the passing, and the helplessness that you feel. And I feel like this is a kind of common way that grief is portrayed in the media, whether that's film, TV, books. You can see that Nick asks his mom, like, "Mom, so like, what do we do now, Mom?" When they first come back from the hospital and they come home. And yeah, you can hear the helplessness. He doesn't know what to do. It's disorientating, which is really, really common in terms of grieving, when you're grieving. But I want to focus on how Avni, the mom, grieves the loss of her husband, as in Nick's dad, okay? Not her dad, Nick's dad. Because I feel like this portrayal of grief is much less common, okay? So the whole book, as we know, is about Nick discovering the truth around his dad and his dad's passing, because his mom has kept it a secret, okay? And I feel like her grieving process is very private, and as Nick describes it, very territorial, okay? Because I think she feels like this is the only way to hold on to him and cherish him and keep his memory alive. And by sharing that grief or letting go and letting other people in, I feel like there's a fear that Nick's dad, the love of her life, basically will fade and eventually be forgotten or left behind, okay? So this is her way of holding on to him and keeping him with her now that she can't physically do that, okay? And even her best friend, who was friends with Nick's dad, says to her that even 20 years, almost 20 years after his passing, she still acts like, quote-unquote, she's the only one that lost him, okay? And that's not true. Obviously, like, his friends are going to be heartbroken and they're going to be having their own grieving process. But the way that Avni's been grieving, she feels like she's alone in her grief, right? Even her brother, Nick's uncle, describes the way that she's been grieving as she threw her grief inwards, okay? This idea of grieving in private and almost cherishing that grief, right? Because as I said to you, I think she thinks if she lets go and lets people in, that she'll forget. And of course, she doesn't want to forget. And that territorial adjective there, that description, territorial, is reflected in this portion of the book where Nick has a photo of his dad given to him by his granddad, and immediately afterwards his mom takes the photo and puts it on her dressing table instead. And I feel like you can really see, like, I think when he's thinking back to all the things, eventually at the end of the book he discovers the way his dad dies and understands where his mom's coming from. And he's thinking back and this memory comes up of her taking the photo, and he realizes that she's basically been saying to him this whole time and saying to everyone that this is not your pain, right? This is mine. I'm taking my pain back, right? This is mine. So I don't think that's a really, really common portrayal of grief in the media. And I thought it was really interesting to see that that's happening underneath of everything that's happening in real time and everything that is straight up on the text. This is kind of the subtext, and everything that is underneath is the loss of Nick's dad, both for Mom, Avni, and for Nick as well. Okay, and we've made it to soundtracking stories. So this is my gift from me to you. Okay, something for you guys to engage with outside of the episodes. Soundtracking Stories is a playlist that is going to be updated every single episode with 5 songs also related to the theme. And I will reveal those 5 songs at the end of the episode, just like I'm about to do right now. Okay, number 1 is Heaven by Beyonce. This is off a self-titled album called Beyonce. If you don't know who Beyonce is, superstar, icon, R&B, pop, just megastar. Yeah. And I feel like this song is for Nick grieving the loss of his granddad. The lyrics say, "Heaven couldn't wait for you, so go on, go home." Okay, this idea of returning to God after death, as I mentioned before, but also the lyric is basically saying that this person is an angel, right? Heaven is where angels live, which is how Nick's granddad is presented. He passes right at the beginning of the book, and the rest of the memories that come up with Nick's granddad and the way that the characters feel towards him, you can really tell he was such a sweet old man with a pure soul. Okay, so I feel like this is maybe a track that Nick might dedicate to his granddad if he was to play it. Number 2 is In Pieces by Chloe Bailey. Chloe Bailey is R&B singer-songwriter. I feel like she's kind of Beyonce's protege. She was previously part of Chloe X Halle, their sisters, and they had a viral video in, I want to say 2013, where they were singing a Beyonce cover, and then Beyonce ended up signing them to her label. So this song, In Pieces, is a big ballad. Yeah, very heavy and thick with emotion. I've cried multiple times to this song, I won't lie. And I low-key feel like this is how Nick's mom grieves Nick's dad in secret. And I can just see her weeping, bawling her eyes out to this tune right here. Because I've done it as well. And the way that she holds on to that pain and that grief, I just feel like this would really, really get to her. Because even the words, yeah. "Because I don't want to go on living a life that you've been missing. And I don't want nobody else to hold me when I'm in pieces." I feel like that's really, like, so real for Avni. Like, that's literally word for word, bar for bar, how she feels. And sometimes when you don't have the words yourself, music is such a beautiful way for letting that out and using somebody else's words to basically say what you want to say. Number 3 is Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson. I feel like this is a hilarious song choice. Just a bit of background about Kelly Clarkson. She's a singer-songwriter and actually won the first season of American Idol in 2002. Crazy, 22 years ago. And this is so funny because the lyrics is, "Since you've been gone, I can breathe for the first time." Now, you might think this is a bit of a random choice, but I feel like this is the way Avni grieves the loss of her mom, because her mom actually passes before the book starts, right? But her mom was like her biggest op, literally. But also, low-key, that's her mom, innit? So she can't be outwardly relieved about her death. So I feel like she might play this secretly, knowing that, yeah, like, this is low-key a fuck you to her mum. It sounds kind of mad, but I think she was really relieved after her mum's death, because as I said to you, her mum was a huge op and she was not trying to let her daughter just live her life. So yeah. And then second to last song is The Kids Are All Right by Ira Starr. Whew. Wow, this song. I've cried to this song as well. I'll be bawling in my room, in my bed. But Ira Starr is a Nigerian pop star. I'm going to say that, Afrobeats star. The instrumental has that vibe of a memory. It feels like an old faded photo from a photo album. Like, it's really nostalgic. And it has loads of voice notes from all of Ira Starr's basically siblings. And they're talking to their dad, who has now passed, and giving their dad a life update. And one of them, like, her voice literally breaks because he's just like, I wish you were here to just hold my hand. And, oh, God, what a beautiful song. It even has a voice note from her mum, a message to Ira, basically telling her to learn from her dad's mistakes and live her life and enjoy her life. So, damn, it really, when I first listened to it, I was like, oh, my gosh. And every single time since then that I've listened to it, I felt that shit. So now we're on to the last song, which is another I Miss You. I Miss You by DMX featuring Faith Evans. DMX, obviously, real G rapper, New York rapper. And Faith Evans, 90s and noughties R&B singer, songwriter and actress as well. And this song is actually dedicated to DMX's late grandmother. Basically an ode to her and all the things he's grateful for that she did and what he misses about her. And Faith Evans even recites Amazing Grace in one of the verses, and just shows you how DMX was lost after his grandma's passing, and now he's found, he's made it to the other side of the grief. He's not in the thick of it anymore. He can kind of continue to live life again. So yeah, those are the five tracks for this week's episode for Soundtrack and Stories. As I said, playlist link is going to be in the description of the episode. Make sure you save the playlist so that every single time I update the playlist with the new five songs, you don't have to keep searching for the playlist every single time. Playlist is called Soundtracking Stories. Woo! Thank you so much for listening. This is SW Pod Sounds and Stories, and you can find us on any of the podcasting platforms that you use by searching up exactly that, SW Pod Sounds and Stories. Okay. If you want to keep up with all things SW Pod, even outside of the episodes, you can follow us on socials at SW Pod UK on Instagram, on TikTok, on X/Twitter, on YouTube, on SoundCloud. Yeah, that's SW Pod UK on all of them, and you'll find us there. If you want to be featured on Let Me Tell You, Let Me TALEU, then you can send in your stories, your thoughts, your opinions via DM on any of those socials. That's us at SWPodUK, or you can email them to SWPodUK@gmail.com. Okay, and these will always, always, always be kept anonymous. I'll either be reading them out on the next episode, or if you've sent a voice note, which by the way has to be 2 minutes maximum. Okay, no longer. Can be shorter, but no longer. If you send in a voice note, this will be played on the episode and your voice will definitely be distorted so that it's unrecognizable. Make sure you lock into the next episode to hear more casual commentary on a song and a book that share a common theme. I've been your host, Mandy, and you've been listening to SW Pod Sounds and Stories. See you lot in the next one.